faith. By definition, it's something that is felt with strong conviction without tangible evidence of its existence. Many claim to have it, but how do we attain it? It can't be held. It can't be sold. But it can be passed down. Faith is invaluable to those who feel it. How is it that this belief can unite us regardless of our differences? It's because of conviction, that feeling inside that links so many, from the far corners of the earth to the closest reaches of our neighborhoods. Faith is all around us. Faith springs from a glorious past forward to a promising future. The faith that those who not so quietly defeated rivals and redefined record books would inspire their brethren of today to reach such epic accomplishments. And all along, there are those who cheer. In their minds, they envision. In their hearts, they believe. And because of that, they are simply known as the faithful.
I love defense. There's just something about defense. There's just
something. You can just hang your hat on it, especially the Niners defense. Yeah. You cannot run on the San Francisco 49ers.
Not running on us.
And the key to that is screaming your head off so the other team gets all disoriented, doesn't know what's going on. Tatanka from WWF?
The defense is on the field. You're helping them by making noise. That's not helping anyone.
Yeah, that's just like a weird thing. You want to know why he's the boss? You want to know why he's the Don? Because he can do stuff like this when we're on defense. Hit it.
This is a story of four guys, probably just like you. Well, maybe not just like you. Maybe a little more troubled. Certainly is passionate and pretty damn funny, too. But you be the judge.
I was born in San Francisco, went to grammar school, high school, and college in San Francisco. Never wasn't a Niner fan.
So I was born in 83. I think I was born at the perfect time to be a Niner fan. Right as the ascension was, it wasn't full tilt. Like you're born in 87, you're like, all right, we have two Super Bowls before you. I punched my ticket right before the ascension, which was great.
I'm from Reno, Nevada, which is Bay Area adjacent. So we'd get Raiders games and 49er games. So there was kind of a choice to be made. And at 5 or 6, I think I leaned more toward the Niners.
I lived kind of all over the Midwest. So I probably went to 12 different grade schools or something crazy like that. My parents aren't in the military. They're just divorced and unhappy. So the people move around a lot when they do that. I became a Niners fan because as a kid, I never had like a place that I felt like a home. But the Niners were on national TV. It was the one team, literally like no matter where I lived, I became a fan like real young. Just because I could see them.
My dad had tickets at Kezar. I was born a Niner fan. My dad and uncles and my entire family die-hard Niner fans from day one.
There was no choice in the matter. My first piece of clothing was a 49er onesie. My dad was just a die-hard Niner fan. My grandma used to be a season ticket holder at Kezar. It's just like I'm a third-generation Niner fan. I think from my earliest memory, I could always, no matter what was happening, just talk to my dad about the Niners.
We have an entire section at Candlestick that is section 62 above the Jumbotron. We had a block of seats with every kid from my grammar school, my cousins, and that just sort of started to expand. And leading going into Levi Stadium, we have 16 seats, and we're all in the same section still. But I wouldn't sit anywhere else, except the York box when they invite me after this.
Being a 49ers fan is one thing. Whether it's a birthright or a choice, the decision to become a fan sometimes chooses us. Just as did the decision these four faithful made to pursue their life's work.
I would call the comedy club, and I had no idea how it worked. I was like, I want to come do a show. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You can come do open mic. I was like, that sounds horrible.
I graduated from University of San Francisco and I'm a human resources personnel major at USF because my mom started this personnel company. So then we had this family business where I hired and fired people. I'd always wanted to be a stand-up comic and always wanted to do it, but now I have this family business. It's doing really well, but I'm miserable. So then I start doing stand-up. I know if I don't do it before I'm 30 years old, I'm never going to do it.
A comedy was like a big bonding thing for me and my dad, and I just liked it as a kid. And I was always like, oh, those guys are just up there being funny. And then throughout high school, I was always the smart ass. So then eventually I was like, why don't I try to get paid for being a smart ass?
I started stand-up when I was 18. I wanted to be a comedian at 8, and then it took me 10 years to write the perfect act and get it on stage. That's what sarcasm sounds like. 10 years after I wanted to finally walk on stage and start at 18, and then started touring full-time at 20. So I was kind of all over the country. I haven't had another job other than this since I was 20 years old.
Appearances in front of hundreds, thousands, and at times millions continue to fuel these funny men, propelling them on all cylinders towards center stage.
Please welcome Tommy Jonigan.
Dan Soder.
David Hunsberger.
How natural.
Ow.
The millions who consider themselves fans of their beloved 49ers are people from all walks of life. Fans from coast to coast who all chase their dreams and look to make a living doing what they love while living life to the fullest. Such fans are Dan Soder, David Hunsberger, Al Madrigal, and Tommy Jonigan. Their goals? To rise through the comedic ranks and make their mark. With a mic in one hand and pockets full of notes, they push forward. For those who have reached comedy's paramount, the limelight is unmistakably bright. But the journey for most can be anything but glamorous.
But we're all sort of climbing through this system, and you hope to get to the bigs. It's just like being an athlete. You want to make it to the bigs. So I always kept my day job because I had this family and a wife, and I had this responsibility to my parents' family business. So my struggle isn't the same as some 19-year-old kid that's put a clothing rack in a minivan and a mattress and is driving from bad one-nighter to one-nighter as a feature act that's making $200 a show and really relying on the free meal.
You're trying to be funny, which is a very subjective thing that makes it very difficult. You're just like, entertain me. Hey, you guys think this is funny? And they're like, yeah. You're like, oh, thank God. Can I please have my check and go home?
There's comics out right now that are on the road in some bad C or B club just sweating it out, doing whatever they can. And it's tough being a comic when you're starting out and you're working a gig or being an actor. It's hard.
Being away from people, being away from your loved ones is kind of tough.
At some point along the way, someone let out that all comedians are sad people. That was a thing that we had that we didn't tell people for a while, that we're just depressed when we're not around people. So now people know that. I cry a lot more than people that have non-comedy jobs. I cry when I see people cry. It's like a yawn for me. Every second of my life, I'm within a minute of crying. I could cry in 1 minute right now. Don't make me do it, because I don't know I could stop. We would wrap the whole shoot.
Clearly, anything worth having is worth working for. And the world of comedy is no different. On stages, in theaters, and in casting calls all over the country, these four comics toil for the ultimate prize. But it was inside these very walls that their 49ers connection was initially uncovered.
Well, I met Al about 12, 13 years ago at the world famous comedy store here on the Sunset Strip. I knew Al was a world-class comic, and I knew there was only one thing that he loved more than his family, more than comedy, and that was the 49ers. So when a dear friend of mine took a position with the 49ers, I knew he was going to reach out for somebody that was funny, that was also a 49ers fan. So without him even knowing, I got in touch with Al. I told Al that there might be an opportunity. The phone rang. My buddy said, do you know anybody funny that also happens to be a 49ers fan? I made the phone call, and here I was making one of my friends happy by giving him the funniest guy I know. It was like giving him a lottery ticket. I felt like Willy Wonka when he had Bill's Candy Shop hand Charlie the golden ticket. I knew what was going to happen, and I knew those two together would go together better than chocolate and peanut butter. I'm thrilled that it worked out.
I was blown away when we found out we were going to get to actually work with the team, because it was just so surreal. It was one of those moments of like, somebody's going to pull the plug. For some reason, it just didn't make sense. It seemed too good to be true.
I don't think I've ever reacted to anything the way I did was when Al told me we were going to film with the Niners.
We owe it all to Al that he put it together and was so calm and rational about it and called us, and just rather than being like, oh my God, he was just like, hey, so I heard from the Niners. It takes a second after the call ends to be like, that was great news. I think our casting was pretty good. Al being the grizzled vet is absolutely accurate.
Perfect casting for all of this. David Huntsberger is maybe one of the most knowledgeable sports fans I've ever met in my life.
There's a foghorn. It's gonna go off once. That means you got 90 minutes. Two means you got an hour. And then in three, that's 30 minutes.
I like to see the players run out. I like to see people run around the end zone, warm up.
You're kind of the fan cyclopedia guy. And me being like, I need to reassess how I live my life.
Dan Soder is extremely knowledgeable, but sort of a bull in the china shop.
Kaepernick! Colin! Colin!
Dan?
Hey.
What? Dan.
It's Kaepernick!
Dan.
And I love that a guy has that much emotion and that much, like, fire about the team all the time.
John, again, knowledgeable, but he's got that Midwest, you know, sort of naive personality.
I think this is one of the coolest things that's ever happened in comedy.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. What the hell is that? Ooh,
what are you?
First down.
Arsenio Hall. From the Arsenio Hall.
We're not going to an Arsenio Hall tape.
It has nothing to do with this.
As a Niner fan, you're just a fan. That's just what you are. That's your lot in life. You support the Niners. All your love goes to the Niners. You don't expect love back. You don't expect to get it back. And then they're like, yeah, why don't you come to the facility? And you're like, yeah, why don't I? When do you need me? I will break every commitment I have. No matter what, I'll go. You just got to go to Levi Stadium and sit in the parking lot with three other guys that are hilarious and just make stuff for the Niners. Flying back to New York, I'm like, did that just happen? That was just the facility? I got a picture in front of all five Lombardi trophies. I walk through the office. I met the COO of the night. You don't meet that guy. You're not supposed to meet that guy. You're supposed to just give all your money to that guy.
We got to meet a couple players. I got to stand in Harbaugh's way unknowingly, and he was in a hurry. I assume he's always in a hurry, or he just walks that way in those pants. They seem very comfortable and flowing. This little group of Niners fans who are comedians, myself, Al Madrigal, Dan Soder, David Huntsberger, all of us came to know each other through comedy, and then about the second thing we learned about each other was that we're Niners fans.
We're all real fans. We all really follow the team. It's not just a passing thing. With these guys having such a ridiculous knowledge of the team, they're real fans.
When you find out someone's a fellow Niner fan, you're just like, we have all these memories that we can talk about. All these specific memories are probably important to you as well. You can just say a player's name, and if you know someone's a Niner fan, I could be like Merton Hanks, and they'll be like, yeah, ah, the chicken, you know, the rubber neck chicken dance. Like, everyone knows. You can just say words to people. I like that. And I think as a comedian, when you want people to react to words in a certain way, that's what's great about being a Niner fan, is you know words that they'll react to. You know, you're like the Cowboys, and you're like, I hate them. God, I hate them. Anytime you bring up something to a Niner fan, you just have common ground to talk to them about. And when you have a comedian that's also a Niner fan, you have that much common ground. You know, we're all just circles hoping to cross over at some point.
Circles that cross over. That's what fandom is all about. It's generations connecting, sewn together by stories from the past, compounded by present events, all awash in the glorious colors of red and gold. Personal connections are made with complete strangers. Friendships are created from common ground newly discovered. It's the true evolution of the faith.
Well, I met Tommy John again in Virginia Beach at a Funny Bone, and this is 6 or 7 years ago, and we talked about getting to a point in our careers when we would be able to go and follow the team and do shows and then go to an away game. That's the dream.
We're gonna like get our careers to the point where we can go to a city that they're in and just put a show together. He's been talking about it with Soder for years, been talking about it with Huntsberger for years. And I feel like all of us were like, yeah, that would be great. And then kind of quietly we're like, that's not going to happen.
Al's been kicking around this idea of us doing a show. But I thought we were just talking about it.
And then getting that call of like, hey, that thing you have that's sort of a pipe dream may actually happen.
We imagined someday it would happen, but the fact that it's a reality is just crazy.
It was as real as it could get. Four truly faithful fans having enough clout in the business that they could fill theaters and comedy clubs in enemy territory. So, as Dan, David, Tommy, and Al packed their bags and hit the road, their favorite team was doing the very same thing. This time, headed for our nation's capital for a primetime matchup.
Caught by Bolden! Touchdown, 49ers!
And the night before in nearby Arlington, Virginia, the four comedians had a primetime engagement of their own in front of a sold-out house.
How many 49ers fans? Oh, a significant amount. Great. Thanks for coming here.
You shut up. You're in the wrong place, my friend.
I just got back from visiting my grandmother. She's incredible. She's 86. She talks about death with an ease that rattles my bones.
I had to explain iTunes to my mom on the phone one time, and I never want to talk to her on the phone ever again after that.
If you're a caribou or a buffalo, you have to be ready to go the second you hit the ground. And the first thing you hear when you do land is just, run, run. Like, what? Run, I just got here. I don't even know what that means. Give me a second. Like, no, see, those wolves, they hate us. And you're our worst player. Come on, follow us.
I live in this predominantly Latino neighborhood. My favorite spot got to be the Mexican Party Supply Store. I can't get enough of it. It doesn't matter where you go. They all look the same. If you're in Guadalajara, East Arlington, L.A., they all look the same. Spray-painted storefront. It says weddings, flowers, horchata, income tax, mufflers. Then there's piñatas hanging out in front of superheroes you can't identify. Like, I think that's Spider-Man. I'm not sure. I don't know why he's got a cape.
I found out when you move in with someone, you have to eat and go to sleep at the same time like your two cellmates that got processed together. I feel like you should have warned me on day one, just given me a toothbrush and a schedule and been like, welcome to the Rock.
I don't trust the children. That's the generation that's going to have to defend us against China. You have a whole army in 20 years that's like,
I would storm the beach, but I have a shellfish allergy.
The second I say faithful, I immediately think of our 8 years of not making the playoffs and all the people I watched stop being 49er fans. Then I remember that one of the Timmy Rattay seasons, the guy was like, I used to be a Niner fan. There's nothing more blasphemous than saying I used to, oh, you liked it when it was the easiest thing to, did you like the Bulls too? Oh, you were a fan of Jordan. Oh, that's, you liked awesome things. There's nothing more disgusting to me than someone abandoning faith. Faithful is knowing that no matter what happens with the Niners, you'll always argue for them.
Faithful means more like you don't freak out. The team knows what it's doing. It's having faith from the top down. And the losing years don't create just bad teams and have bad players on them. Not necessarily bad players, but a bad chemistry, all that stuff, maybe bad coaching. When it turns around and you get good coaching and good leadership, you on top of that also have to have good fans.
I should have help. My family, I haven't spoken to them in weeks. They don't even know I'm here. I have a small child, or at least I had before I left. She's probably bigger now or gone. That's how much I care about this team, is I've left my family behind, knowing that when I get back, if she didn't find where I put the food, she could not be there anymore. My wife's out of town also. I'm supposed to be watching the baby. But you can't bring a baby to an outdoor game in November. I mean, what kind of parent would do that? Not me.
Members of the faithful,
As you can see, we love telling a good story. Trust us to share yours by reaching out to 49ers Studios at fns@49ers.com.
First game I ever went to, my mom and my sister and I went to San Francisco, and I, because I love napping, I fell asleep in the back of the car, and we were going to dinner. My mom goes, "We're going to dinner." I was like, "Great." And then I wake up in the back seat of the car, and I'm seeing all these faces peering into the car, and they're all wearing 49ers gear, and I'm hearing a lot of noise, like, this is a strange restaurant. And I wake up and, like, sit up, and I look around, and we're clearly going into the parking lot of a stadium. That was not my first reaction, though, to my mom. I was like, what restaurant is this? I just didn't clue in that she had surprised us and we were going to the 49ers game. And at that game, next to me is just this older dude sitting next to me. And he has, I believe it was a television. And he's watching the game and then also watching the live game. And I thought, that's the best fan I've ever seen. There's nothing getting past him. Some sort of play happened, and I was like, oh, Rice is in single coverage. And he took out his earbud and looked at me and was like, you saw that? And I was just like, I've done it. This is the best feeling. I've impressed that guy. Nice. He put his earbud and phone back in, went back to watching the game. And I've always thought, like, I want to remain a fan that would always kind of impress that guy.